Praise God. Father, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus paid. And thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that those who laid down their lives for this country have given. Lord, I pray for their families, Lord, that you would comfort them this, especially tomorrow on the Day of Remembrance, Lord. So many thousands have died so that we could be free and have liberty. And Lord, I pray that we would not neglect to forget that fact. Lord, that we would not forget it and that we would not just, Lord, just go about our business and not remember, Lord. So this morning as we remember, this weekend as we remember, pray your anointing over this word and this, Lord, this service. Continue to anoint in this service, I pray in Jesus' name. So tomorrow's Memorial Day. Most of us look at Memorial Day as a three-day weekend. Woohoo! An extra day off. Yeah. Don't got to go to work on Monday. I don't work on Mondays anyway, so it's... So it's, you know, it's a three-day weekend, and that's a barbecues, and we go and we camp, and we go and we spend time with... It's not what it's all about. It's also the beginning of summer. Yeah, the beginning of summer. When I was in the military, those of you who are in the military, I don't know if they had it when you were in or if it was just strictly an Air Force thing during the time that I was in, but it was called the 101 critical days. The 101 critical days from Memorial Day to Labor Day, the day that you needed to take extra care to stop and keep yourself from doing stupid things. Because those 101 critical days were the times where people, you know, they like to, and then they like to get in a cold river, or they like to drive a boat, and they like to ride motorcycles or quads after they've had a few, and, you know, or mountain climb, or do all kinds of things. It was 101 critical days, because these were the days when if you were going to get hurt, this was when you were most likely to get hurt, because you're out and about everywhere. 101 critical days. Let me give you a definition of what memorial is. Something designed to preserve the memory of a person, event, etc., as a monument or a holiday. A written statement of facts presented to a sovereign, a legislative body, etc., as the ground of or expressed in the form of a petition or remonstrance. Preserving the memory of a person or thing, commemorative, memorial services, or of or relating to the memory. That's what Memorial Day is all about. Remember those who gave their lives. We're remembering sacrifice. Sacrifice. Some and most who've died, a lot of them, there were circumstances involved in their sacrifice that elicited merit, that elicited some type of recognition, special recognition, Bronze Star, Silver Star, Medal of Honor. We remember sacrifice. How do you pay somebody back for giving their life? How do you do that with a medal? It doesn't equate. It doesn't equal. This is man's way of trying to balance the scale for what somebody sacrificed for them. And now we're getting ready to start. We're having a problem with what I fought in the Cold War, socialism, communism, penetrating and infiltrating this country, and now we're electing it to Congress. How stupid are we? We're spitting in the face of the sacrifice that all these many thousands of people gave so that we can be free, and now we're just going to turn our backs on it. That's not right. That's not right. We've got to do everything we can to make sure that socialism and communism doesn't end up ruling this country. By the way, this country's not a democracy. What do you mean, Pastor, it's not a democracy? No, it's not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. See, democracy is majority rules. How many of you want the majority of this country ruling in our elections? Because in our elections, the majority are usually... See, we don't get out and vote. And so the other side, the unscriptural, the unbiblical, people who subscribe to that and espouse those doctrines, they get out and vote. How can somebody... How do we elect some of the people that they're put into Congress? How do we do that? We're a constitutional republic. That's why we have the Electoral College, so that everybody's vote counts. Everybody's vote counts. You realize that if this was a true democracy, that the majority ruled, do you know where the areas of the country that would rule and decide and dictate what happens in this country? L.A. and New York. I don't want some New York lunatic deciding how things go in this country. No offense, brother or sister. You're not New Yorkers anymore. We are remembering sacrifice. How do we remember sacrifice? By, you know, let's elect. I don't know how I got on that. Because we're remembering sacrifice. I don't want to spit in the face of those who died to make me free. I don't want to do that. I want to honor their memory. What about those of us who've never been called upon to lay our lives down in battle? There's still sacrifice that you make. Is this whole concept of sacrifice for somebody else, or is it for all of us? This concept of sacrifice is for all of us. In other words, just because it inconveniences you doesn't mean you don't do it. See, the greater the inconvenience, the more you probably should be doing it. Well, but Pastor, I don't want to get up so early and go to the voting station. Really? Really? Sounds like Proverbs, the sluggard. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. As an excuse not to do something. Sacrifice is for all of us. It's for every single one of us. Sacrifice is for us, whether we're a Christian or not. We need to be sacrificing. It's not just a Christian thing. It's a universal people thing. Sacrifice. I'm going to have to make some adjustments to this. It's not staying. The Lord Jesus Christ calls each of his followers to a life of sacrifice for his sake. It's a life of sacrifice. It's not a life of luxury. It's not a life of just relaxation. It's a life of sacrifice. And somehow we've gotten it in our mind and in our hearts that it's not about sacrifice, that it's about what others can do for me. It's about what God can do for me. It's not about what I can do for others and what I can do for God. No amens there, huh? We're remembering sacrifice. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." He sacrificed. And it was a fragrant offering to God. Fragrant. Nothing smells like burnt flesh. But God's calling us to sacrifice. And that burnt flesh smells good to God. Because that means that self is dying. Oh, come on. Self is dying. And that the life of Jesus that's in us is increasing and making it smell. That flesh is dying. It's got to die. The flesh has to die to sacrifice. It has to die. Sacrifice isn't just some dramatic final act of heroism. See, oftentimes we think of sacrifice, oh, he sacrificed his life. He threw himself on a grenade. That happens frequently. You may or may not know somebody who threw themselves on a grenade. But it's not about heroism. Sacrifice is laying down our privileges, benefits, and pleasures for the good of someone else. So sacrifice is. We're remembering sacrifice this weekend. How are we remembering sacrifice? Are we giving up our privileges and our rights and for somebody else? Or are we demanding, I demand my rights. I want my rights. I'm entitled to my rights. Yeah, you are. But sacrifice demands that you give them up. Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You want to please God? Sacrifice. You want to please God? Start doing stuff for somebody else. See, because what happens is when we take the focus off of ourselves, then God is able to work in us because we're not focused on what everything that we want. But the enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, he wants you to hold on to that stuff. It's mine and I'm going to hold on to it with all I've got. Yeah, and you're not going to be blessed at all. You're not going to get anything. It's selfishness. You know, when you're not sacrificing, you can just kind of flip that. The opposite of sacrifice is selfishness. See, we don't want to think of it in that term. That brings it too close to home, right? Winston Churchill, in a speech to Parliament in 1948, said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And that quote was basically a quote he had taken from a man named George Santayana, not Santa Anna. Santayana, that said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. If you don't remember it, then how can you keep yourself from repeating it? We have to remember. We have to remember the past. We have to remember that there are forces at work in this world bent on the destruction of mankind. There are forces. Why are they bent on the destruction of mankind? Because we are created in God's image. And those forces will do anything they can to destroy what God has set up, what God has instituted, what God has ordained, and what God has blessed. And unless we remember, we're going to have to go through it again. Example, the children of Israel. 40 years wandering around the desert, around Mount Sinai. 40 years. Why? Because they didn't remember. 40 years because they didn't believe. 40 years because they believed the bad report. 40 years that they had to wander around waiting to go into the promised land. I can't wait to get to the promised land. We're at a point now in our church where we're entering into the promised land. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to repeat things over and over and over again. I want to move on. I don't like going around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. I want to go forward. I want to make progress. I want to see things, bad circumstances and bad experiences, I want to see them in the rearview mirror. Remembering sacrifice. When I was praying about what to preach this morning, I knew this was Memorial Day. And you know, what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't preach a Memorial Day sermon, right? And it's like, Lord, what are you? Now, let me say this. If the Lord gave me something other than a Memorial Day service, that's what I'd be preaching. All right? I'm not bound to tradition. I'm not bound to those things. I will preach what God gives me to preach and nothing more. I'm not going to preach a Christmas message just because it's Christmas. I'm not going to preach an Easter message just because it's Easter. I'm not going to preach a Memorial Day message just because it's Memorial Day. I'm not going to preach a 4th of July message just because it's 4th of July. Preach what God gives me. So God, I want to look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 7 to 13. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. And this is the story of Mary and the alabaster box. What a story. Let's read. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." In memory of her, remembering sacrifice. In memory of a woman who anointed Jesus, she also washed his feet with her tears. Tell you what, that's some sacrifice back then. They had sandals. They didn't have closed shoes like we did. There's some nasty feet. Nasty feet. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I know somebody who had the nastiest smelling feet I've ever smelled. He was my cousin, and he lived with us for a while. Oh, whoa! I have never, it smelled like he was dying. Smelled like rotting flesh. He'd take his shoes off. "Kevin, put your shoes back on." "Oh, I just spilled gas on him." He worked at a gas station. "I just spilled gas on him. That's what that smell is." "No, brother, that's not gas smell. That's stinky." Stinky. So let's remember that sacrifice, will we? Shall we? Let's remember her sacrifice. She got down there in that dirt, nasty, you know, and she, her tears, and she used her hair. Her hair. What a sacrifice. She used what she had to wash his feet. And because of that, and because of pouring the costly oil onto Jesus and anointing his head, he said, "She will always be remembered for what she's done for me. Always." Everywhere this gospel is preached, everywhere missionaries are, everywhere evangelists are, everywhere teachers are, this gets told. They may not tell other stories. But this one will always get told. Why? Because Jesus said it would always be told wherever the gospel is preached. That's why you hear sermons on this. We've heard a couple of them over the last couple of months. Ladies' tea, you heard it. Then that following Sunday, my wife preached on some of it. Now I'm preaching on some of it. Because it was an important thing and it needs to be remembered. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. She took this jar of perfume, this jar that cost, that was about a year's wages. She cracked it, broke it, poured it on Jesus. These day and age, somebody did that to you. Whoa, what are you doing? What are you pouring on me? And I'll tell you this, there are some people, when you walk through the store or you walk places, it smells like somebody took an alabaster box and broke it over the top of them. Just say this, a little goes a long way. Man, Jesus probably smelled for days after that. Couldn't get that off of him, that smell, just permeate, get, and you know, it was probably hot in there with all those people in there, so he's sweating, and it gets down into his pores, and so everywhere he goes, he starts to sweat, he starts to smell. Better that smell than the other smell. She was remembered for her sacrifice. Our sacrifice should be so extravagant and costly as to give others cause to remember us as an example of sacrifice. Did you hear what I said? Our sacrifice should be costly and extravagant. Giving a couple of bucks to somebody who's homeless, that's not extravagant. It's nice, but it's not extravagant. Our sacrifice to the Savior needs to be extravagant. It needs to be such a sacrifice that people go, wow, did you see that? Did you see what they did? They gave up a year's wages. Just for one moment. Sacrifice. Remembering sacrifice. I like what Reagan said in the thing. He said that in that speech that those who laid down their lives, they gave up two lives. The one they were living and then the one they would have had. That's what our sacrifice needs to be. We need to give up the life we're living and the life that we would have without Jesus. We need to give those up. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. See, when Christ is the object of our affection, those who have received his pardoning love will not stop to calculate the value of the alabaster box of precious ointment. See, when you're so in love with Jesus, the gifts that you give, the sacrifices that you make, you don't count that cost. You don't say, well, that was worth this much. You just do it because you love him and you want to sacrifice. You want to give him everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you will be. And you don't care about what it costs. You just do it because of what he did for you. Stop counting the costs. There's another sermon that you can preach about counting the cost. But that's not what I'm talking about here this morning. I'm talking about sacrifice and remembering sacrifice. We're remembering what Mary did. We're remembering what all those thousands of men and women did. We're remembering. We're not saying, oh, well, today's Memorial Day. Yeah, they died. Okay. And then on with you go. Let's go barbecue. Yeah. Where's the burgers? Where's the buns? Where's the chips? Where's the chicken? No, don't forget the potato salad. It's not about that. It's about remembering. In memorial of what Mary did. While I was preparing this sermon, how many of you know that it's hard to prepare a message and to have fresh material all the time? And how many of you know that God, I'm not the only minister, I'm not the only pastor who's preaching a message today? How many of you know that? In this town, there's probably 90 guys preaching. And God gives to each one of them. And we would consider that anointed of God, the word of God, right? So if it's anointed for them, why can't I use something that they've got? Right? There's a saying, plagiarize till you die. It happens. Use other people's material. God can anoint it just as much when they preach it as when you're going to preach it. If you preach it. Now, I don't take somebody's sermon and do it word for word. I make it my own, but I use material out of it. I'm constantly looking for stuff so that I can draw from. I mean, it's out there. Why reinvent the wheel? Work smarter, not harder. It's hard enough as it is. So I was reading this one sermon, and there was this passage in it, and I want to read it to you word for word because it just impacted me so much. It says, Mary had been looked upon as a great sinner. How many of you know the word sinner in the context? The sinner and harlot are the same thing. It's the same thing. Publicans and sinners, publicans and harlots. So when they said he's Jesus is eating with publicans and sinners, it means he's eating with publicans and prostitutes. Publicans were tax collectors. And sinners were the harlots, the prostitutes. The red light district. And this says she was a great sinner. But Christ knew the circumstances that had shaped her life. He might have extinguished every spark of hope in her soul, but he did not. It was he who had lifted her from despair and ruin. 7 times she had heard his rebuke of the demons that controlled her heart and mind. She had heard his strong cries to the Father on her behalf. She knew how offensive is sin to his unsullied purity, and in his strength she had overcome. When to human eyes her case appeared hopeless, Christ saw in Mary capabilities for good. He saw the better traits of her character. The plan of redemption has invested humanity with great possibilities, and in Mary these possibilities were to be realized. Through his grace, she became a partaker of the divine nature. The one who had fallen and one whose mind had been a habitation of demons was brought very near to the Savior in fellowship and ministry. It was Mary who sat at his feet and leaned on him. It was Mary who poured upon his head the precious anointing oil and bathed his feet with her tears. Mary stood beside the cross and followed him to the sepulcher. Mary was first at the tomb after his resurrection. It was Mary who first proclaimed a risen Savior. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils, was the last of the Savior's, last at the Savior's tomb, and the first whom he greeted in the morning of his resurrection. Remembering somebody. Remembering her sacrifice. Man, I wish that could be said of me. That I'm the first at his tomb. That I was there when he was crucified. That he's done so much for me. And all of us have that same testimony. That he has done so much for all of us. So much for all of us. That we have to remember his sacrifice. His sacrifice. We remember this weekend the sacrifice of those who died. We remember Mary's sacrifice in the alabaster box. And we remember Christ's sacrifice. He sacrificed the most of anyone. To whom much is given, much is required. We've been given eternal life. Much is required of us with what we do with it. We cannot be like the wicked servant who took the talent that God gave him and buried it in the ground. We remember. Remember the sacrifice. 2 Samuel 24, 23 to 25, and this is from the Living Bible. I will give it all to you, and may the Lord God accept your sacrifice. But the king said to Araunah, no, I will not have it as a gift. I will buy it, for I don't want to offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that have no cost me. Excuse me, that have cost me nothing. So David paid for the threshing floor and oxen. And David built an altar there to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer, and the plague was stopped. See, David was going to offer to the Lord, but somebody was going to give it to him. David said, no, I'm not going to offer anything to God that doesn't cost me anything. Even King David knew the cost. Even he knew that it's got to cost us something to be of value. It's got to cost us something. It doesn't mean anything if it doesn't cost you anything. What have you given up if it doesn't cost you anything? There's no value in it. David offered that of value. Mary offered that of value. Value. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. We have to remember the sacrifice. We're called to remember the sacrifice. Jesus said that we are to remember the sacrifice. Throughout Scripture, there's all kinds of incidents and all kinds of examples of people remembering the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14 says, this day shall be for you a memorial day. See, Memorial Day's in the Bible. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. Remember sacrifice. That particular scripture is talking about before the Passover. Before the death angel, the last plague, to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Said, do what I say, and then this is to be a memorial day. You remember this day. Why? Because lives were sacrificed for your freedom. Lives were sacrificed for the Israelites' freedom. A lot of times we don't think of it that way, but there were lives sacrificed. Who was sacrificed? The firstborn of every Egyptian? The firstborn of every Jew who didn't have the blood applied to the doorposts and the life was sacrificed. We've got to remember the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice. Never forget. Lord, may we never forget what you did. Lord, may we never forget what Mary did. Lord, may we never forget what those who died for this country did. May we never forget the sacrifice that people made and gave so that you found Christ. Because sometimes that was a sacrifice. Why? Because they loved you so much they wanted you to know who Jesus Christ was. If you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet me, you meet Jesus and you forget him, you've lost everything. Everything. Let's all stand. Remember the sacrifice. Father God, we remember the sacrifice of Mary. Thank you, Lord, that she poured out that fragrant perfume on you to anoint your body for burial. Lord, she gave everything that she had. She could have taken that and sold it. Lord, she could have done all kinds of stuff with it, but God, she gave it to you. Lord, let us not forget sacrifice. Let us remember sacrifice. Lord, let us not dwell on sacrifice only, but God, let us look back and take stock and remember the sacrifices that have been made along the way by people for our salvation, that have been made for us. Lord, may we not forget those sacrifices. But God, may we look on them as a springboard, as a catapult to greater things in Jesus. Lord, help us to remember the sacrifice.